Right, Jamie Gardner, welcome to Break Your Chains from 9 to 5. And this is the first time we've had a 2 Comma Club Award winner on, which I could see in your background.
I love showing that off.
Yeah, I bet you should be. You're proud of it. It's an achievement, yeah. Then. It's fantastic. And so the way you got to that 2 Comma Club Award was through Swagger University. Was that right? I looked at your profile. I thought, is that a real university?
Yeah,
I got to ask
you. I didn't actually go to university, and so I took
University of Jamie then.
Yeah, it was actually a friend of mine. Yeah. A friend of the School of Hard Knocks.
It's one of them. But it's different, isn't it? Is that the thing?
Yeah. It just recommended. It's like, I put Swagger at university. You should put that as well. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
so I just did it. Yeah. Okay. That sounds cool.
So how long have you been working online now?
It's just over a decade now. I started in 2011. Right. And do you want me to tell the whole backstory?
What did you do before you worked online, before, like, say, a decade ago?
Man,
the old days.
The old, yeah.
Not from when you were reading your paper around, obviously, but just a brief description. what career were you in? What did you have in a qualification in, like, career, like myself, as an electrician?
Nothing. I'm completely. I have no qualifications. Did you go to
university or anything?
No, I didn't. So I took a very different pathway. So I left school early. Left halfway through my last year, and I hated it. I thought I was dumb, and I just thought I want to go and earn some cash and try and get into the workforce. So over the years, I've tried a bunch of stuff. I think my first job was I was working in a factory, and I had my mum, she set up an e-commerce store in 96, but got it officially going in 97. So helped her out with that. So I've worked in e-commerce. And then I tried pest control, so biosecurity, water testing, pest control stuff, did that for a couple of years. Got into mining. I worked in a gold mine, driving dump trucks.
That's a perfect thing over in Australia, is it? Mining, a load of people. I know a few people.
Well, that one was actually, I did that in New Zealand, and then I moved to Australia in 2005, and then got into construction, and then got into real estate, and then got into finance. I worked for, it was actually a UK-based company called IG, or IG Markets as it was known then, which was spread betting and CFDs and things like that. And so that was absolutely incredible. Loved that. And then got into superannuation insurance and website sales and education sales and food and wine.
So from changing all these sort of jobs, was it chasing the money, or just you were bored of that position?
A little bit of both. I think I probably have, in some respects, a sense of career-based ADHD, I would say. Right. And so it would reach a point where I guess – going right back, that was money based, and so I was working doing biosecurity stuff, and there was an opportunity to jump into the local gold mine there, and that paid significantly better than pretty much everything else that was around. So that was that. And then my original move for coming over to Australia was to go and work in the mines, but that didn't quite transpire. I mean this with the utmost respect to anyone in that industry, but on the crew that I was working with, I had a few older gentlemen, and they just had a chip on their shoulder about life. They were nothing could please them. They weren't happy.
Been in that position for a long time, and they're like, you should do it like this. I've got no idea. This is going to be 10 times easier. I'm not listening. Like, I've been that situation myself. Sort of. Anyone that's been in a career for 10, 20 years, they're not open to new ideas.
Anymore. Yeah. And so I found a lot of these old lads were they had a chip on their shoulder. They're just kind of like grumbling about life all the time. I thought, man, if I don't get into something that I'm actually going to enjoy, then I'm going to be stuck doing this forever. And so when I came to Australia, just cut my teeth, did whatever I could, which was, in that case, construction. And I was being like on the end of a jackhammer and stuff like that, lifting rocks and all sorts of random stuff. And then, got a gig. In real estate, doing sort of like leasing and things like that. And I'd always had a fascination with trading the financial markets. So I seem to be quite good at, I'm very persistent, I guess, is one thing.
Yeah.
And I applied for 5 roles over the course of 2 years at the same company. And I wore them down. I think they just kept seeing my face and my resume.
That was like, persistent work.
Yeah. Who the hell is this guy? What's he doing? Man, this is crazy. So yeah, got into that. And yeah, that was probably the longest career path I had. I was with that company for 5.5 years and absolutely loved it. You know, dealing with billions of dollars, exchanging hands every day was just, you know, absolutely loved it. So for someone that was an absolute nonce at school and never, like, mathematics, I'm absolutely hopeless. And the kind of running joke we had with a couple of the people I used to work with was we were dealing with these huge algorithms and huge big numbers, really. And although I wasn't really privy to the algorithms so much, but I was around it type thing. But we would deal with these huge numbers. But then when it come to going for dinner and things like that, it's like, $100 divided by four. Do we, I don't know. Like, it was always just this ongoing joke, like simple day-to-day mathematics we sucked at, but these bigger numbers we seem to be okay at for whatever reason. So yeah, it was kind of strange dichotomy.
So what, at what point did you look into building a business online?
It's always been an interest. In fact, I can pinpoint, I was 8 years old, and I pinpoint the specific time when I was eight when I started getting a fascination with basically being an entrepreneur. I looked into real estate and started studying things like real estate investing when I was about 15, and then shares, stocks, options.
You've always had the entrepreneur sort of in your blood.
Yeah, I tried a bunch of things, but nothing really came about. And most of my family on my mum's side run their own business, and so therefore it was kind of, I don't want to say it's in my blood, like both my parents, my dad works for himself, my mum works for himself, kind of yeah. I just I saw mum's lifestyle in particular. So she, as I mentioned, she set up her e-commerce store in 97, and so by the time I was kind of like in my mid-20s by that stage, she'd automated the whole thing. She's earning pretty good income. Mm-hmm. not massive in the grand scheme of things, but pretty good income. But it was all mostly automated. I say mostly, like, the money would arrive in her account through the orders, and she'd wake up in the morning, answer a few emails, and all the rest of the business was automated. The product would get shipped automatically. When supplies got low, an email would be sent to a shipping house, a manufacturer. They would manufacture more
products. So that was before the days of Amazon FBA, in a way.
Yeah, it was actually so Amazon started in 95. She started, technically it was 96, but actually officially got the site going 97. So before Google, there was no Google back then. So yeah, it was crazy. The Wild West of the
internet.
And she actually ran that up and sold it in 2021. So she ran it for 20, however many years that is. So she was my inspiration. I saw this lifestyle where she was just traveling wherever she wanted, and she'd go and spend, you know, 6 months living in Bali, or she went over to the States a bunch of times and just did stuff, and like bought a bus and then bought motorbikes and cruised around New Zealand on that. And so I was like, what the heck am I doing with my life? Like, I love my job, or aspects of it, I should say. And yeah, I thought, you know, this is like, it's about time that I start pursuing my own thing. And I thought, how can I leverage what I'm doing during the day, which was basically teaching people how to trade the financial markets, how can I leverage that to then start building some assets that are going to pay me? So I started getting into blogging, and I failed miserably at that, and self-taught, which I guess was probably half the problem. I didn't really have anyone sort of looking over my shoulder to say, hey, you know, do this, do that type thing. Yeah. So but I actually still got, I think, one of those, if I remember correctly. But and then I just tried a bunch of stuff over the years, like all sorts of crazy things, CPA marketing. I ran ads on pretty much every known platform to man. Mobile traffic, I started setting up mobile sites for offline businesses.
Right.
Found myself in a mountain of debt and went bankrupt 2015. And then I ran a whole bunch of ads for e-commerce stores and had a couple of those. Did okay at one of them, actually, and ended up selling that. And then 2015, I was working for a company, ended up going bust eventually. But what happened was we were getting these great leads, and it was an education company, and we'd get these good leads and you call them and you make it, you know, close a deal. It was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And so I said to the marketing department, where are you getting these leads from? And they're like, we've got this guy that we pay. And it's like, it was something ridiculous, like $120 per lead. And I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. Like $120 per lead. Don't quote me on the figures, it might have been less.
Yeah. I can add that now I know maths.
Yeah. Turns out it was $1.20. I just miscalculated. I thought at that time, because of my experience running ads on Facebook for e-commerce stores, I thought it was quite a lot less competitive back then. And I thought, I wonder if I could replicate that. I know how to run ads, know how to get leads. And I was thinking, I was doing some calc, and I figured I could probably get leads for about $4 to $8 each. And I thought, this dude is making a ton of cash. And so I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. And basically, 2017 came, I found myself working for another company doing food and wine events and sales in that industry. And yeah, finally managed to find a client to run ads for. And I was like, this is enough. I was making like literally $1,000 a month. And I thought, this will do me. I'll go and leave the workforce, I'm done. And yeah, that was the start that got me out of the workforce and then yeah, building my own business. And the next few years were an absolute struggle. And yeah, found myself broke numerous times. And it was this kind of weird time.
Well, you went all in possibly a few times. So right, this is going to be, you didn't hold back.
No, not at all. I gave it full tilt. And yeah, it was tricky because on one side, I guess because of my bankruptcy, my finances were very separate from my wife. So she was working this corporate job, doing pretty well for herself. And by contrast, I wasn't. And so it meant that she was supporting us, which is, it was pretty, I'm very grateful for that. And then pivoted at the end of 2018 because the major client, so I did actually pick up some steam and started doing okay for myself end of 2018. And my major client, where I was getting about 90% of my income from, they pulled the pin and basically brought all their marketing in-house, which happened to coincide with them running into some financial troubles. They stopped paying their bills. And so I was left just at Christmas time 2018 with a pretty big chunk of cash that was owed to me. And that never came. And so and I ended up chasing that till later on that year. They did finally come good with it in 2019. And so, yeah, I pivoted my business, got into affiliate marketing, which I'd already been doing in the background anyway. I still had articles I was publishing on a pretty regular basis and different assets and stuff that I had out there that I was trying to build up. And nothing really clicked into place. Found myself broke again. And then late 2019, I'd already met Jacob Karras, who's my friend and mentor. Them in March 2019, we didn't really kind of hang out that much or anything. And later on, he just kind of contacted me out of the blue and he said, hey, I've got this idea. I'm like, cool. Well, I don't have anything.
Are you interested in a way?
Yeah. Basically, I want to collaborate and this is what the idea is. And I'm like, all right, man, I'll come along for the ride, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Quite laid back. Just, whatever. Did you not realize that what it could turn into?
No worries.
Hey, I've got nothing to do today.
let me think about this. Jokes aside, I had mentally and emotionally invested in some other mentors at that point, and so they hadn't really come to fruition. So I did have pretty cold feet going into it to start with, at least anyway, and discussed it with my wife, blah, blah, and I kind of looked at the situation and I was like, well, I'm on the bones of my ass now. Like I've got nothing to lose. And
that risk factor, you thought, I'm going to go all in.
It's that old saying, like if you're lying down and you're at rock bottom, at least you're looking up. And so, if you're in your grave, that's not burying you, you're at least you're looking up. So I was like, I've got nothing to lose. And I really liked Jacob and what he was about. And I just thought, I'm just going to go into this. And I started listening to his advice because I had all this knowledge. I'd been selling things for years and years and years. I sold millions of dollars worth of products and services, offline.
So all the experience that you gained obviously paid off.
Yeah. Had experience in SEO and all sorts of stuff. I just understand principles. I'm not really good at it by any stretch of the imagination, but I understand certain elements of it. But I understood some stuff and just trying to glue all that together to go, what button or sequence of buttons do I push to spit cash flow out the other side? And Jacob helped me with that. And then like literally within a 7-day time frame from me just going, okay, I think I can see this now. I can actually understand how I can leverage all these skills that I've built up over the years. And then, I went from like, I had $84 in my account within basically 7 days of me implementing what I had been given, I had my first $1,000 a day and next one the next day and first 10K a month and, rest is kind of history. So
it's been a wild ride. So what do you think that attracted Jacob to contact you? Has he ever said, well, I contacted you because of this?
Well, it was actually the other way around. I stalked him. Right. And it's funny. Not stalked. It's a wrong choice.
You didn't send him a load of CVs every month.
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey.
Yeah, you can't forget me.
Yeah. That tends to only work when I'm in the workforce for some reason. But no, with this one, he follows a team called the Western Bulldogs, which is a sport called AFL, Australian Football right. League. And his team were playing in Melbourne, and so he'd flown down for it from Brisbane at the time where he's living. And I'd seen him around for a little while at that point, and I honestly thought, who's this young kid? Like, he's just, the dude can hardly, like, he can't even grow a beard. Like, he's not even shaving yet. And he's absolutely dominating the affiliate marketing space. And, like, he just kind of, like, he exploded out of nowhere. I thought, how is it this little shit is just doing all the stuff?
That's,
and
that's
like,
the sort of thing you think that you do. It's so, if I'm around about the same age, like 40, and you think, these young kids, what the hell's he doing, that little whippersnapper?
Yeah, like it's like these 14-year-old crypto millionaires, you're like, I've obviously missed the boat somewhere. But
but the thing is, it wasn't around in our day. I say that. All this stuff wasn't around. It had to be time.
That's the excuse I'm sticking with as well. Honestly, I was actually intrigued. I thought, it's something, he's doing something pretty cool. And I started following him in his group and different things. I thought, this guy is pretty switched on and seems like, someone that I could align with. And then basically, he's flown down to Melbourne, and he had basically put something on social media, and I just reached out to him and I said, hey man, I'd love to network with someone who's doing good stuff in this space. Can I share your beer or coffee or something like that? And he's like, yeah, sounds good. Should be available tomorrow this time. I'm like, okay, cool. This is, where I'll come and meet you type thing. And so we caught up and had a loose chat about XYZ and, affiliate marketing and blah, blah, blah. And then that was in March. And then over the next sort of 3 to 6 months, we didn't really keep in touch that much, but just every now and then we'd send each other a message, things like that. And then I think it was like, and the crazy thing was, I think from October, so he'd dropped a bit of a hint about what he wanted to do in like August, and I didn't hear from him again, or maybe we lost touch, I don't know. But and then in October, quite literally, it was like, hey, I've got this idea, this is what I want to do, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. And then literally a week later, we started selling at what is now a Super Affiliate Accelerator. So he already had the idea in his mind, and we just needed some people to kind of collaborate with.
Back up with, like, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, I'm pretty happy to be along for the ride, and just went all in. And yeah, it's been a whirlwind ride ever since. We hit the 2 Comic Club Awards, set us in February 2021, which was awesome. So 14 months.
So that was 14 months in. Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I'll speak for myself. I don't know about the other two lads, but I know for myself, I was kind of naive in terms of what to expect. I had some business experience, and
when you started with SAA and working with Jacob, did you think, well, this project will just be a project, or did you realize how big it'd be? Because in my opinion, it's quite a big project.
It is quite a big project,
but it has obviously grown over time as well. But when you first say, I'll work with you on this, did you realize that it would be so big?
I don't think I really comprehended, because Jacob had sort of alluded to, he goes, I want to win 2 Comic Club Award, and I can't remember the date that he mentioned that, but I was like, all right, okay. And I think I think in terms of a mindset perspective, like, there've been so many setbacks in my journey that it was still a state of disbelief that it could be a reality. Right. And so, going through things like bankruptcy and then going through other times of financial despair and the years to follow, it was sort of a hard thing to comprehend that could be a reality type thing.
So do you think that held you back at all, because you thought your mindset with previous experiences? A bit of doubt in your head, maybe.
And I also have tendency for self-sabotage as well, which is something that I've identified and that was very prevalent. Like I first like sort of 6 months out of the gates of actually doing well, I would do things like, oh, it's a month into, a month and a half into it. And I've made, you know, say my biggest month at that stage was like 12K in affiliate sales. I was like, oh, awesome. You know, I should go out there and now want to set up like a, I don't know, like a membership site or right. I'm going to go set up this other thing. And so that would happen. It was a cyclical thing. And I didn't realize it at the time. I reflected on it a while back. I was like, oh, I was just probably getting a little bit fearful instead of just doubling down, because part of the entrepreneurial spirit is not to, like, a lot of us are very good at the creativity side of things, but the actual implementation and sticking with something until you make it work, that can be quite hard for a lot of people. And so, and self included, I was just like, oh, okay, I'm kind of bored now. I'm going to go and do something. I've done Facebook now. So, and obviously I had not. But yeah, things have changed quite drastically since then, because I started recognizing my patterns and, just put tools and resources in place to make sure I wouldn't kind of keep shooting myself in the foot.
To keep the momentum going in a way.
Yeah, which is sometimes easier said than done. Like I said, I think, you know, the propensity with entrepreneurs in general is just to create and develop and evolve. And sometimes people do that a little bit too prematurely, which is what I've done essentially. But it was good though.
Hard lessons to learn. It's good, obviously it paid off sort of thing. And well, by the sounds of it, your partner in crime, like Jacob, knew where it was going. He told you that he wanted to win the two combat club awards, so he thought, well, I'm aiming for that. And I know he's quite determined himself.
He is. He's incredibly dedicated to something when he puts his mind to it. But what was really interesting is I think the balance that was created worked really well, because the sort of balance between the three of us in terms of both the way that we think and especially the pathways that we've followed. So Jacob has had setbacks, but perhaps not to the same degree that I've had.
Everybody's different.
Financially and stuff. And so it seemed from the outside like he had, you know, very quick like success and relatively quick succession, which is not quite the case. I mean, the dude has got like a work ethic like not many people I've encountered ever. And so therefore, that's what's not shown in these things. But, you know, by contrast, you know, my journey, it took me like 7.5 to 8-ish years or whatever it was.
There's a lot of people out there with sea life. I know Russell Brunson talks of his potato gun.
Yeah.
But you don't realize where they came from, and because you saw them in their element when they're online, when they're everywhere, their picture pops up, everyone talks about them. That's when you see them. So you think, that was overnight success. Yeah. Not necessarily.
Yeah. And that's the thing, when I say, it only took me 7 days to hit 1K, but, you know, 7 days and 7.5 years.
that's the thing. That's a lot of lessons to learn.
Yeah, exactly. But I wouldn't change that though. I think I was saying this earlier before we hit the record button. I wouldn't change my pathway at all. It's, you know, I think my ability to relate to people is stronger because of it, because I can foresee what the I know what the psychological barriers that people face are, and not to sound conceited, it's not that I'm going to assume that I know everything about people's journey, of course, but there's so much of it that I can relate to, and I can empathize very deeply with some of the things people are struggling with, and you know, the mindset hurdles that they're going through, because I've walked that path myself. So
you've been there and done that in a way. So
Do
you think that possibly lately online, with all that's happened in the world, do you think that it's changed from maybe 3 or 4 years ago, before, like with marketing side, with the different sort of clients that are coming online as well?
Yeah, there is. So I don't know if this is the rest of the world, but in Australia, we've got something called the Great Resignation. And this is kind of like a pandemic based off the back of a pandemic, which is like everyone's quitting their job. They're just, you know, they're able to work from home, and then they're like, well, why would I ever go back to an office? Because an office
I think it's happening all over.
I've
got a taste, and it works.
I'm never going back. And so, what that's meant is that people that are in the industry now are pretty well poised, because there's always new people jumping into the online marketing space in whatever capacity, whether it is affiliate marketing or e-commerce or setting up agencies or, you know, offline businesses, you know, and servicing those businesses, things like that. So Yeah, it certainly has changed. You know, there's a lot more programs out there for, say, Facebook organic marketing, which is there really wasn't that much when we kicked off. And I think
not at all. No, that's relatively new over the past few years as well.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it has been there. There were people out there doing it, and so you know, I'm not going to arrogantly assume that we were the first ones
to do
this. But you know, we certainly, I think we kind of cut a dent, and then a lot of our students have gone off and created some programs off the back of that, and created different bespoke programs to help people with certain aspects of the organic space as well. So things like, you know, content marketing and you know, I guess sales.
Yeah, sort of niche down from a niche in a way. Yeah, they've narrowed down on someone that concentrates on stories at the minute, because I think stories are popular and stuff. So they're in one little sort of compartment of it all as well.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, it certainly has changed. But at the same time, you know, I think the principles of the entire model and process in general hasn't really changed that much. And I guess where I'm going with that is, if you look at the overarching pieces of that puzzle, it's literally, it's always going to come down to three things, which is, well, four things, but your mindset being one, but essentially the practical element is your offer. So what you're promoting and how you gift wrap that to the market, your method of conversion. You know, you're going to have a call funnel, are you going to send someone just a Google Doc and a couple of well-crafted Facebook posts? Are you going to close in Messenger? Like what is that singular thing that you're going to do? I would highly recommend people start with one and move on to the others. And then last but not least, your audience, like your traffic source. And so that's still the same. You know, there's still a process to nurture those things.
Diving deeper into aspects more.
There's
like a blueprint of how it works, but then you dive deeper into this and this and this. And then once they're all sort of fine-tuned, then they'll work a lot better.
Yeah, 100%. Most of my business over the last, let's say, 6 months to a year is just taking the concept of Facebook organic marketing and creating efficiencies within that. So better flow of lead flow and processes with that, better determination of leads and things like that as well. Better content, hopefully. some may beg to differ with that, but hopefully better content.
The thing, different content resonates with different people as well, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Not everyone's going to, you know, if you're putting out the same post, not everyone's going to relate to that, but it's just about finding those different angles and stuff, putting those out. Yeah.
So obviously with your success, with you can't help but spot that 2 kilometer award in the back all the time. My eyes are drawn to it. Like, so with the success of achieving that and the success within, like, I don't know, what's the maximum you burned in a month?
I kept out at 40, and just for clarification.
So that's fantastic success, 40 grams in a month. I think obviously you were chuffed with how that went. But then you've also got students yourself.
So when
students come to you and say, Jamie, for all your work or all your tutoring, I've earned maybe £5,000 or I've earned £1,000 this month. What feels better, that 2 Comic-Con award or the gratitude of what you get from students?
Definitely the 2 Comma Club award. Are you kidding me? No. What? What kind of question is that?
Check this out. You sit my profile picture.
Okay. So let me clarify something as well, because I say 40K, but it kind of pisses me off when I hear this. But it was 34 cash collected, and there was another 6K in recurring, which have come good now. So, but you know, never let the truth stand in the way of a good story, right? So, but that's my biggest month. And so, but my goal this year is I want to hit consistent 50K months, which I strongly believe I will do. But to answer your question, sorry, I was digressing, just want to be transparent.
No,
but to clarify, yes, it fills me with a sense of pride and fulfillment and joy and elation when a student says, hey, I just closed that deal, or when I see that notification pop up on the dashboard of the affiliate software, things like that. And I'm just like, quite often just running around, just going, that's kind of
awesome. Well done, man. Like, it's like an achievement.
I think a lot of the time I sort of walk the journey with them in some regards, and especially from an emotional basis. Like I know that's zero to one sale part is usually the hardest part for people, and it's yeah. often, and I've seen it so many times where it's hard, like no one's buying. I'm only trying to broke people, blah blah.
It gets you down maybe a little bit. But then as soon as you sort of have that success, you can keep up the momentum. With myself, I sort of had success and went out and spent it. And then come back a couple of weeks later and thought, well, this is going to be the same. No, it's not. Yeah. You've got to keep the pressure on in a way.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I call it the pre-validation process, pre-validation phase. And it's like when you haven't had that first big sale yet. And a lot of people get stuck there because they, going back to talking about my own belief system, it's like you walk in this path, and even though you can see it and you can see other people that have done it, and they may look and smell and feel exactly like you, these people, but there's still an element, a subconscious part of your brain that either thinks you don't deserve it, or you know, there's a limiting belief holding you back, or you're just not entirely sure if it can be real for you. And this is very, very common. And so therefore this is the pre-validation. Then of course, once you bang, you make that one big sale, and it's just like, oh my God, like this is absolutely awesome. And so because then once you've had that experience of, okay, I've had $1,000 paid to me in one day, like, oh, your brain just explodes. Cause then you're like, okay, this is
doable.
This is awesome. Oh my God. Like, how do I get more of this? This is so cool. And then, you know, you start to refine your process and you become better at it and whatnot. It can be really hard sometimes. I've noticed this quite often as well, and in my own journey, where you might make one sale or one or two or three or four or whatever, and then there's often a lull on the other side of it, and this is prevalent within organic marketing. And so this is, you know, when a launch is finished, and so you get this euphoric high of, oh my God, I had a launch. And if you're an affiliate for a launch and you do pretty well, you're like, yeah, this is great, oh my God. And especially, you know, before the cart page closes and you see all these sales dropping, you're like, oh yeah, it's amazing. And then there's a lull on the other side, you're like, oh, like you're tired because you're pushing it, and then you usually have to rebuild your sales pipeline, all that type of stuff. So it's part of the fun.
Yeah, it's like keeping the pressure on. There's certain techniques and tactics. To build it is all to keep it going, keep the momentum going.
Yep, 100%. Right. Yeah, but it's part of the fun of the game, I guess.
It definitely. So with obviously being involved in SAA, and I know you've got your own sort of trainers as well, like workshops and things. So what do you think is the future for yourself?
Oh man, that's
is that a massive question? You've got a thousand really ideas.
Yeah. Oh God, where do we begin? Okay. All right. We rewind back to the start. So no, kidding. I've got something called the Ultimate Marketing Mastermind. So basically my coaching program I've been working on for a little while, and it's still within its infancy. Technically, I've coached a few people before, but this is sort of the first time I've rolled out something that has something official behind it, and I'm just building that up at the moment. And what I'm really doing with that is I've sort of refined a bit of a process when it comes to the nurturing phase of Facebook organic marketing. And so I guess the principle of it is you can actually take it a step further. I mean, yes, it is Facebook organic marketing, but what it really is leveraging your community to nurture your leads in a very specific way. And what that means is that the close rates for my sales calls are astronomically higher because I guess it's because of this nurturing process that I've developed. So that's kind of what I'm trying to teach as part of that, which has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the process, getting some cool results for students, all that type of stuff. And
this is on live at the minute as well.
Yeah, it is. So it's not much in the way of content at the moment, just because I guess with SAA being what it is, I've thought, well, I don't really need to create, you know, a whole other program, so to speak. That may well change as time progresses. I'm not entirely sure where that's going to go just yet, but probably.
Yeah, you're not limiting yourself to anything.
Opening things up a little bit. And so that's kind of what I want. And then realistically, it's just about building out a bit of an ecosystem because, you know, I love Facebook. I love Facebook organic marketing, but there is a very acute vulnerability in your business with Facebook. And that is Mr. Zuckerberg can do whatever the heck he wants. And if anyone listening, or perhaps yourself as well, man, if you've ever run ads on Facebook, you know how tricky they are. Like, they're just all of a sudden, you know, like, to give you some idea, like, I'd run tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars of ad spend through various accounts, and also managing that of clients and whatnot when I was running my agency. And then just out of the blue, bang, your account's disabled. You cannot
just touch another ad account. One day, like, you've got a wrong word. Yeah.
And but there's no feedback. You actually have no idea. And even if you were super compliant, you've read through the terms and conditions, they just do it because they're mean and nasty. And so, and the other thing is, I feel like your account, your profile is probably vulnerable as well. I've had mine shut down a couple of times. And what I found was, it was actually someone trying to take my identity and steal my account, basically. And so they were trying to claim me, and I had to remove my old email address from my account and put a new one on that the hackers didn't have access to, because they kept
crazy. It's just, what benefit they're going to get? Are they going to try and get a license in your name, or I can't work out why they do it.
Well, for the Facebook stuff, that's probably just because they think they're going to be able to sell stuff. I'm assuming.
Right, I suppose, they come across to someone and say, right, give me your details.
Yeah. So, but I guess where I was going with all that is, Facebook does present some vulnerabilities in terms of brand. And so there comes a point, and I still would argue, black and blue, that being on Facebook and your ability to sell on a one-to-one basis is absolutely paramount, because if all you've ever had is like some sort of automated system, and that goes kaput as well, then you're still left with nothing. And I think it's such a valuable skill to learn, because then when you start to add these layers to your business, and this is one of the gripes I have about this industry in general, is that sorry, I know I'm talking all over the place here, but we kind of get this idea that you need funnels, you need email marketing, you need to run ads and whatnot. And I know there's a bitter sense of irony when I say this, that you don't need funnels, because the thing, but like,
you don't need funnels, but it helps.
But you should buy my course. It's called youdontneedfunnels.com, and it's based on a funnel. But where I'm going with that one is I think what tends to happen for a lot of people, and sorry, I know I've digressed massively here, but a lot of people, because you get sold this idea, if you're brand new to something and you're like, okay, I've got to learn funnel software. What's a funnel? I've been thinking websites for years. Okay, I've got to learn that. It's a whole new language in itself. And then I've got to learn the software, and that's kind of cool. And what's the best design for me? And then do I need a website? And then do I have to go set up a blog? Okay, well, now I've learned that software. And then autoresponders and tagging and leads, like segmentation and automations. Like, okay, I've got that. That took another 3 weeks there. And still haven't tested if the funnel actually works. Like, you don't know, just in a sense of traffic to it. There's no different iterations and whatnot. And so I'm not saying that's a wrong approach. It does work. It has worked for a lot of people. But I think you're better off starting from basics. And this is why I'm a massive proponent for this. All you need is a Facebook profile. Go reach out to a few people, put out some content that resonates with people. Yeah, and then something that I often refer to is Occam's razor, which is the premise that the simplest option is more often the best. And so you start with something basic, you cut your teeth, you build a bit of a brand around yourself, and then you start adding these layers in place. You start adding like your funnels and your automations, and then you all of a sudden, without even thinking too deeply, you've kind of built out this ecosystem. So then when you start adding alternate traffic sources, alternate traffic sources like YouTube or your podcasts or a blog or whatever else, the myriad of other traffic sources that are out there, you can actually filter them into this lead nurturing process that you've developed from scratch, knowing full well that not only can you automate certain aspects of it, but you can also go and basically sell on a one-to-one basis and have a pretty good conversation with people as well. So you kind of like got the best of both worlds, and you've done so in a very, I'm not going to say simple. I think that's perhaps disrespectful to the process, but it is an easier way to go about it. So,
So you basically explained it there as why. You see a lot of these done for you. What's going to happen if that done for you disappears?
Yes.
You're going to be stuck. Like, hang about. What am I going to do there? So learning these little steps along the way are going to benefit you in the long run.
Yeah. 100%. Like your copywriting is going to be refined. Your sales capacity is going to be refined. And then when you take that and you start adding that to funnels, then you're going to know, well, and especially because you've probably been rejected through going through that process, probably been rejected a number of times. So it's not going to impact your mindset when you're like, oh man, my funnel didn't work. It's like, okay, well, what do I need to tweak on the funnel? How quickly can I tweak that? New headline, color scheme, button color, you know, pop-up or no pop-up, like, you know, all these different iterations of things that you can try. And that's just for that front-facing part of your funnel as well, looking at the rest of it, right? So, you're going to do that objectively rather than going, oh man, I suck at funnels, I give up.
Yeah, you've got to think, rather than thinking, oh, that's a problem, I give up, how are you going to fix it? I said, every problem, there's a solution.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, the attrition rate in affiliate marketing tends to be quite high because, I guess, going back to what I was saying before, what gets sold is often this sort of dream of, utopian dream of like, do no work, tomorrow, get paid. Yeah, you'll be a trillionaire tomorrow. and because we're marketers and we're quite good at this stuff, right? So I'm doing this stuff all the time. I enjoy it. But I try not to play on those people's instincts. But what people inherently want is ease. They want the ease in which they can obtain something in a perfect world. And it's prevalent everywhere. If you ask someone what their ideal holiday is, most of the time it's going to be nice, good weather and relaxing. Relaxing and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of prevalent in most of the stuff that we do. And so therefore, that's why things like done-for-you systems and, I don't need to do any work and the leads are automatically closed for me. It's like, yeah, cool. I mean, that's great. You could probably make a bit of cash out of that and whatnot, but then there's no inherent skill.
It's not sustainable for the future. That's the thing. You're doing it for somebody else in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to learn some skills that you can go and do it on your own. Nothing.
Which is, and then that's the thing. I think a lot of the time the expectation gets sold because it is doable. I mean, there are so many people that have gone out, shot out of the gates, like with the right direction and all that type of stuff. And they've gone, oh my God, like my first month and I just made 10 grand. And that's the thing. They are probably outliers to the rule. But of course, as marketers, you don't highlight the non-outliers, promote the good stuff that's happened.
Exactly, yeah. The success that can happen because you don't know the individual. Everyone's different, like you say. Everyone can achieve at different levels.
Yeah, 100%. But the dangerous part about that is it does tend to set a false expectation because then all of a sudden, like in my mind, going back to 2011 when I started setting up my blogs, I'm like, I should be able to make like 5 to 10K per month the next like 3 months setting up this blog. Yeah, no worries, like easy.
That yacht, I'll put a bit
of down now. Yeah. and of course, it was significantly more difficult than I anticipated. And it was just annoying. Things didn't happen the way I thought. And then I realized this lesson. I was like, they've been selling me all along. They've been selling me these expectations. Damn, these guys are good.
I thought someone was going to do it for me.
Yeah.
So with the position that you've got to today of the success, have you invested in mentorship or training yourself?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, Jacob is still my mentor as far as I'm concerned, and even though he probably can't get rid of me like a bad smell now, but it's become a very good mate of mine. But I still consider him probably my main mentor. Just because I think the way that we jive off each other these days is pretty cool as well. And same with Chris, actually. The dude is the guy's like is annoyingly smart. He's kind of like the evil genius behind the scenes there a lot of the time. So I consider both of those guys my mentors to a large degree, just because of the banter that we have and all that type of stuff as well, which is really cool. But over and above that, I've invested in some ads training with Alex Becker. I also invested recently in some email marketing stuff and trying to get some automations in place, things like that. I'm kind of an info junkie.
You're constantly invested in yourself as well then?
Yeah. And it's so significantly different the way that I do it now as well. And that's an interesting thing that I've taken note of is that historically I would have been oh gosh, shit, I hope this works. Oh, please, just be the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully this
is not a bit, yeah, I can relate to that. Oh, this has got to be the golden one. This is it. Yeah.
But what's fascinating now is that I kind of don't really care if none of it works. And so, because normally what happens if I go through something, and even if I don't actually finish all the program or whatever, mm-hmm. I can almost categorically guarantee there will be at least one to two things I can take beneficial. That will produce a significant ROI in my business. And so whether that is a reduction in time spent doing things, or it is a better result for my students, or I say this one thing and it happens to be the difference between closing at an extra 0.5% or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And so that's kind of the way I look at it. So therefore I don't, you know, I'm quite happy about spending, you know.
This is a good investment after all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, as long as it aligns with where I'm going, that's kind of the big thing. So, you know, it would defeat the purpose for me now to invest in like an e-commerce like course
training, or something
like
that.
Like, sort of polar opposite of what I'm trying to do, but if it's related to I guess roughly in the same direction as where mm-hmm. I'm heading,
marketing wise and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So still jumping into things.
Yeah, well, you still get things to go. Like you say, you got Revolve all the time as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with people that are maybe watching this or listening to this and they think, well, yeah, I might ask Jamie a few questions, how would be the best way for them to contact you?
You can't. I'm an enigma. I don't exist. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So probably easiest way is, well, two ways. If you head over to my group, I've got a fancy domain name for it. It's called, just go to www.ultimateaffiliategroup.com.
Ultimate, powerful.
Yeah.
Right, we'll leave that in the description of the show notes as well so people can easily find it, yeah?
Awesome. That's probably the best way. I'm usually hanging around in my group because I don't have a life outside of marketing. No, I'm kidding. I do. I enjoy what I do, so I'm usually hanging around. Happy to have a chat with anyone. Other than that, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I do have social media properties, but I won't rattle those off. It'll take too long. So.
Yeah. No worries. But then I normally ask people, have they break the chains from the 9 to 5? But I'm not going over yourself because I know you have. But if someone came along and said, right, Jamie, there's £1 million. All you've got to do is turn up at 9 o'clock and you can go home at 5 o'clock. You get £1 million a year. Would you take that job position?
Oh man, that's a good question. No, I wouldn't. Nah.
You wouldn't, because you believe in what you're doing online. The reason why you wouldn't take it, what is it?
Yeah, it's a good question. And bearing in mind that £1 million for us would be like, let's say, I don't know what the exchange rate is, but you're looking at about 1.3 million. I don't know what the exchange rate is, might be higher at the moment. But the reason I wouldn't is because I believe I have more scalability. And I believe that I can potentially earn more than that. And I also believe that I'm enjoying what I do. Like, it has its perks and things that I don't love all the time. But overall, I enjoy it. It's 7 o'clock p.m. my time, and I've had a multitude of sales calls and coaching calls and all that type of stuff. And I'll go and have some food later, and then I'll jump back on my computer, and I just love it. I'm going to watch marketing videos tonight. That's my plan. I can't wait.
I'm a geek. Geeking out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't watch Netflix. I'll just check out a few of the marketing videos.
I caught up with Jacob, went up to the Gold Coast to see him just this last weekend gone. And I was sort of saying, you know, earlier on that we went to go out and have a bit of a night out, but it backfired and the lines were too big. So we went home to
standard in that queue.
Yeah. And then we had a wine and we watched marketing videos till like 1 a.m. like absolute nerds. And so, yeah, I mean, that's for me. You know, there's something that I heard recently from Sam Ovens, and it was the idea of, you know, you don't have to love the micro in order to love the macro. So you don't have to, if you're enjoying the overall process of being out of work and, you know, achieving your goals and helping other people out and having relative time freedom, which I know sounds ironic given that I just mentioned I'm you know, probably going to just geek out on stuff later, but mm-hmm. that is my choice. I don't have to do that. I enjoy it. And so if you got that as your overarching thing that you enjoy doing, and the absorption of knowledge about marketing and becoming better at it and helping more people and achieving their goals, all that type of stuff. And then on the other side, you've got certain micro aspects of it that you don't enjoy doing all the time. That's fine. I would still take that over going and fulfilling someone else's dream and a job. It gives me shudders down the spine to think of that.
Yeah, you know, I'm away from that now, so I'll just stay clear of it.
Yeah. It's not bad. Like, you know, jobs certainly serve their purpose, and I've had a bunch of them over the years, but I just really like
not for me.
Yeah, just enjoy it. So
brilliant. Right. Well, thank you very much for coming on, and no doubt I'm going to follow you more on your ultimate journey.
Amazing. Thank you.
Getting better.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me, and awesome to be here. Hopefully, people got a bit of value out of this as well. So
brilliant.
Much appreciated.
See you.